The Lord is good. Isn't it wonderful to praise the Lord? You know, let's do something here today. I want you to realize that the power of praise and worship is a powerful weapon. That's right. When everything else is not working, and you know, that's the hardest thing to do sometimes is praise and worship when things are not going well. But that's why it's so powerful. That's right. If you can get into the art of praising the Lord. Oh my goodness. Devil can't stand it. Devil can't stand your praise. Powerful stuff. Glory to God. I want to welcome you this morning and afternoon to this hour of power. Today, we're going to praise the Lord and His power, such power in praising the Lord. And after, you know, we praise the Lord, you know, I want to hear from you. I want your testimony. Glory to God. Now, listen, praise is so powerful when we use it together with the Word of God in break barriers. That's right. You know, the people that figured it out in the Bible, my goodness, they got great and tremendous victories. Because, you know, number one man there is David. He knew how to praise the Lord. You know, and that's why that song said, well, when the Spirit of God comes upon me, moves upon me like that, I'm going to dance like David danced. I'm going to sing. Can you really dance like David danced? I'll tell you how he danced. You know, one time when the ark was coming home, David, the king. We're talking about the king here. He got in the streets. My goodness. And he began to get down. He threw off his crown, threw off his kingly garments, began to praise the Lord because the ark was coming home. And he praised the Lord. He danced with all of his might. And he praised the Lord. Whereupon, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out the window and saw David. And she despised him in her heart. And waited until he got back inside and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today? I mean, look at you. Supposed to be the king. You debase yourself in front of all those women on the streets. I mean, you should have carried yourself with dignity. The king royal. And David said, it was before the Lord. The Lord who chose me instead of your father's house. That's right. Therefore will I praise him. And if you think that one was base, you haven't seen anything yet. You know, I'm going to be even of the baser sort. I'm going to praise the Lord more. I'm going to do anything that you even think is vile. I'm going to praise the Lord because I'm doing it for the Lord. And all those women that you thought, you know, despise me, I will be had in honor of them. You know, and the Lord was furious with the woman. Now, you be careful now. Never despise anybody that praise the Lord in, you know, don't despise them. And they are praising the Lord. Just leave them alone. Let them be. Because that woman was barren. Lord struck her like that. You know, but David, you could not shut him up when it comes to praising the Lord. I mean, he has so many words of praise for the Lord in that Bible. I mean, when you begin to read it all, you know, and say it, and get into the spirit of praise like David did, my goodness, you begin to bring great things to pass. Now, many of his folks around him, they knew how to do it too. You know, I mean, Jehoshaphat, he knew how to do it. He learned it. I mean, David was his great, great, great grandfather. And he knew how to praise the beauty of holiness. Well, in the face of imminent defeat from three great companies come up against them. Jehoshaphat, he sought out the people that knew how to praise the beauty of holiness. That's right. Praise God. And of course, you know the victory that followed in 2 Chronicles 20. You also know the victory that followed when Paul and Silas were in prison in Acts chapter 16. They could have been grumbling, but they didn't. You know, they could have felt despondent, but they didn't. They rejoiced. And at midnight, Paul and Silas, they prayed and sang praises, and all the prisoners heard them. They didn't even sing it in their hearts. They shouted the voice of victory. Glory to God. And when they did, my goodness, the angel of the Lord came upon them, smote those gates, broke their chains, busted them out. But they said, well, we'll stay right here. And they stood right there. And, the guard said, oh, my goodness. You know, my life is done this day. I said, don't do yourself any harm. We're right here. Glory to God. The art of praising the Lord, breaking bars, chains, and different things. And that man gave his life to Christ and his house. Glory to God. What shall I do that I must be saved? Seeing that you serve a God that can do this, we got you fastened all the way down, cast into the deepest prison with chains all around you. But here we are. You're broken loose. You must serve an awesome God. Yeah, power of praise. That David was a man that knew how to praise the Lord. And when David praised the Lord, his prayer, you can read it in Psalm 18, the effect of his prayer, because he knew how to praise the Lord. He knew how to say, the Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. He knew how to tell the Lord, my God, my rock, my fortress, my high tower, my shield, and my hiding place. You know, and when he began to tell the Lord, he said, Lord, thy arm, thy holy arm, I've gotten you the victory. You know, then the Lord will actually flex his arms. You know, you want to see, you want some more of that? Amen. You know, and the Lord, he will respond in kind when you call him out and say, Lord, there is none like you. Ha! Can answer by fire. Glory to God. It becomes a powerful, your praise becomes a powerful weapon in your hands. David said, the Lord rose up. Glory to God. He blasted, you know, blastings and stuff came out of his nostrils. Thunderings and lightnings, coals of fire were kindled by it. The Lord answered in kind. Glory to God. The power of praise. Throughout our Bible, we've seen it.
How does the best basketball...
Oh, sorry.
Why don't it's, you...
Oh, no, this thing jumping up on my iPad here. Throughout... Dump that iPad somewhere. Throughout the Bible, we see people praising the Lord and great results. Hallelujah. And you've done it too. And do you know, that's when the Spirit of God moves you into the prophetic realm. So when you are in praise and worship, that's right. Your spirit is more aligned to praise the Lord. That's right. And not only, to hear from the Lord, not only hear from the Lord, but also to get direction and strategy. Like we were talking about yesterday, praising the Lord lifts you up into his presence and allows the Holy Spirit to speak. Well, more so, let's put it this way, allows you to hear the Holy Spirit speaking. That's right. And so the power of praise is in your hands. And nobody can take that away from you. Could never do it. You know, you know how to use it. Praise God. And we ought to praise the Lord more often than just pray. Because that's why we were created, to praise the Lord. And when you know how to do it just right, you can shift things in your favor. Praise the Lord. So I want to take some time out on here this morning to praise the Lord. You know, and I like that song said, you know, sometimes it's hallelujah. Sometimes you holler. Sometimes you sing gently. Sometimes you are in worship. Sometimes you are shouting. Sometimes you are screaming. However, which way the Holy Spirit moves you, but you got to do it. Night and day, David said, 7 times a day, I praise the Lord. In thy word will I praise the Lord. In his word will I praise the Lord. Well, you use the word of God to praise him. You declare what he already said. Tell him how great he is. Hallelujah. Huh. Thank you, Jesus. Thou that ridest in the heavens by thy name. Jah. Huh. Glory to God. Thou that sitteth in the midst of the cherubims. Glory to God. And you begin to call him out, tell him how great he is. You know, even the windows of heaven will open. But the Lord wants to hear it. Praise the Lord. And you can get through. If you're not getting through every which way you've tried, well, then you got to switch to praising the Lord. And if praising the Lord works for you, then do it more often. Because it works. It's a powerful weapon. Glory to God. And the devil, he loves to shut people up. Praise the Lord. He loves to shut you up so you can't praise the Lord. Who put things, you know, upon people, a depressing spirit, so they can't praise the Lord. But you can praise your way out of that. And ladies and gentlemen, you know, the reason depression comes most of the time, the antidote is given to us in Colossians chapter 3. And you know, this season especially, you know, all kinds of things going on, usually around the Christmas season, the holiday seasons, you know, depression begins to set in. People sometimes they can't be with their families, so they're not getting those gifts that they thought they were going to get. Because they set their affection on things below and not on things above. And any time in our lives when we set our affection on things below, if those things get taken away, then depression sets in. You know, but if you set your affection on things above, and you know how to communicate with God in prayer and in praise and worship, you know, you can, you know, kick that depression out of there. Praise God. Let the joy of the Lord constantly be your strengthening. That's right. And it comes through praising the beauty of holiness. And it's a wonderful thing. We can grab a, you know, a tambourine or so, or for, you know, whatever. Grab. Get some instruments of praise. David said, praise him on the cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Praise him with all the instruments of praise. David gave commandments. And even the sons of Asaph, you know, they took those commandments and they built those instruments. And they knew how to do it. You know, and when you're around David, you're going to be praising the Lord. That's for sure. It's one of the reasons the Lord chose his throne. And that's where he's going to set upon. Because when you're around that throne, you will be praising the Lord. There's no question about that. But I say to you this way. You show me someone who will not praise the Lord, I'll show you someone who's not going to be around that throne. That's right. If you don't know how to praise the Lord, yeah, you better get some practice now. You may not be around that throne. Because that throne of David is going to be one that's full of praises all around. And Jesus is going to sit right on it. And if you overcome, you can sit with him too. But you got to know how to praise the Lord. There is no room for people who don't know how to praise the Lord around that place, around that throne, praising the Lord in the morning, the evening, the afternoon, in the face of difficulties. Sometimes even tragedy, unfortunately, happens. You know, but We got to learn how to praise the Lord. And if we know how to do it right, we might even avoid a lot of things. You know, praise brings you a clothing. It's like a force field that'll be around you. Praise the Lord. You know, praise is a guardian of your soul, the protector of your body. He'll protect you like that. So that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Where is that secret place? Well, praising the Lord in his word. In thy word will I praise the Lord, saith the psalmist. I will praise him in his word, will I bless him. Glory to God. So we're going to praise the Lord some more this morning. You know, I want us to just take the time to praise the Lord. Many ways that we praise the Lord. We praise the Lord with your voice. You can praise the Lord with a psalm. You can praise the Lord with spiritual songs and hymns, making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. And you can praise the Lord with the word of your testimony, which is really the Lord's testimony in your life. You know, so many ways to praise the Lord. And every which way that we praise the Lord, if we do it right, Jesus said, those that worship the Lord, worship him in spirit and in truth. When we know how to do it right, then the Bible says that that's who the Father is looking for. That's what Jesus said. Those that must worship him in spirit and in truth. Glory to God. And that's wherever you are, you can do it. You don't need to go up to some mountain or over here. If you want to go, that's fine too. Nothing forbids you. You know, but the woman at the well, she thought, well, you guys say that, you know, in Jerusalem is where we worship, or in this mountain, and that's the place. And Jesus debunked all of that. You know, he said the hour is coming and now is. That neither in Jerusalem nor yet in this mountain, people worship God. But the true worshipers of God in the spirit, wherever you are, hallelujah, we worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. What more shall I say? You know, what more shall we say? That praise, how that praise can get you out of the tightest situations many times. And you've experienced it. But you know, sometimes the enemy, he steals that from us. We forget how powerful it is. And people will begin to get, you know, beat down into their problems. They forget the most powerful weapon you have is your praise. Hallelujah. And is your worship. Worship and praising the Lord. You know, and David, he gave us so many psalms. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise continually be in my mouth. And he would talk about it. Praise the Lord from the rising of the sun to going down all the same. We talk about it, the beauties of holiness. We praise the Lord. So let all the people, Psalm 67, let all the people praise the Lord. Let all the people praise the Lord. He will keep on saying it. Let everything that had breath, you know, even at the end of all the Psalms, he was still saying it. Let all and everything that had the breath, let the saints and everybody, let us praise the beauty of holiness. All right. Well, you know, when we praise the Lord, victories are just around the corner. People sometimes forget that praising the Lord can be such a powerful weapon. It's so powerful. And let's learn to use it more and more. And it gets even better, you know, when you can get the people of God together to do it in unison. It's so, so powerful. You can do it on your own. But when you get people together that can really know how to do it, it is so, so powerful. The Bible says that, you know, when they began to praise the Lord, and all the people somehow figured out how to praise the Lord together, and they were all in one accord in praising the Lord. Well, you know, let me read it to you here in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 13. It came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good and for his mercy endureth forever. It came to pass that even then was the house filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. And the glory of God came down in that praise, so that the priests could not even stand or minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. And all of that because they got their praising together in unison. You know, and sometimes when people are praising the Lord, they're distracted. You know, I mean, you go, I mean, some people, I know that in our local church where we go for worship service and to hear the word of the Lord, and you know, sometimes we have, most of the time we have the praise segment and so forth, you know, before you get into the word and all of that. And many people miss that segment. They waltz in late. They come in anytime they want. You know, I don't know why anybody would want to miss the praise and worship segment. You know, I don't know, you know, but, you know, when you're late, you come in after the praise, you already missed it. You missed a wonderful experience. You know, even when the praise and worship is going on, some people can't get into it. I mean, their mind's on everything else but praising the Lord. You know, all over the place. You know, you're not going to get the benefit. But when you know how to get in, you got to do it right on your own first. I mean, most of the people who are distracted during corporate praise and worship is because they have not learned it even as an individual. People say charity begins at home. Well, if you didn't figure it out on your own, you're not going to figure it out in the congregation either. But if you figure it out, and when you come into the house of the Lord and you can get it together, the glory of God can come down. Hallelujah. Just like here. You know, it happened when they began to make one sound. You know, all of them were in unison. My goodness. The glory of God came down. You know, the greatest story of the example of using the praises of God as powerful weapons are the ones I already gave you. Weapons to break the bars of prison and chains around their feet. They did it. Weapon to go before the army and to defeat their enemies. Jehoshaphat did it. I mean, you know, my goodness. Can you see how powerful it can be? Well, let's praise the Lord. You know, sometimes we got to drop down and drop back into praising the Lord. You know, and I was going to do another lesson this one, but I thought about it. I said, well, you know, it's been a while since we just did a segment of praise. You know, we can continue the teaching tomorrow. But today, well, let's praise the Lord some. Hallelujah. So, it is time for us to praise the Lord. And I'm not going to speak too much about that. I want us to actually do it. You know, and to do it and to do it right is important. And when we come before the Lord, let's come with a heart of thanksgiving. Scripture admonishes us about that. Be ye thankful, scriptures say. you know, everything we give thanks, you know, coming to his presence with thanksgiving, the psalmist said, entering to his courts with praise, you know, you know, get your praise on. It's the way some other people say, you know, get your praise on. You want to get your praise on? Well, what is your posture of praise and worship? You know, are you an occasional Sunday only praise and worshiper? You know, or have you learned the art of praise all the time? Hallelujah. Yeah, that's the one. Get up in the morning, you praise the Lord. All day long, you're praising the Lord. In the evening, you're praising the Lord. You know, and, you know, as you go through it and keep on doing it, it gets easier to praise the Lord. And you know the power of songs. I mean, I've heard people say that, you know, when anything else couldn't reach them, a song was what reached them. You know, sometimes there's so much power in these anointed songs. You know, whether it's worship, whether it's consecration songs, whether it's praise songs. If you learn those songs, and you know, that sometimes you'll find yourself singing a song that you haven't even heard in years. You know, maybe the last time you sang that song was 30, 40 years ago. One day you find yourself singing it. That's a power, you know, of praise. It's just so powerful. It's embedded in your spirit like that. And sometimes you find yourself even singing a new song. That you never even knew. And after you sing, you can't even remember it, but you sang it and it was so beautiful. So powerful. Brings you into the presence of God like that, you know? And it can strike the very heart of the enemy. That's right. That's how you finish him off with your praises. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord, that every day we would learn the praisings of the Lord and how to use the power of praise. And you know, David didn't quite appreciate, you know, when people, and everybody has their own demeanor. You know, some people, you know, sometimes hallelujah, sometimes gently praising the Lord. That's why I sang that, any which way. But David loved it when people shouted the victory. You know, you say, you know, shout unto the Lord. You know, and make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. You know, he loved it when people holler. I love it too, you know. But sometimes, you know, some people are, you know, quiet and so forth like that. But I tell you what, there's some people that say we're quiet and everything. They'll scream and shout, you know, when some natural event happens. I'd be at a ball game and see someone make a touchdown or someone, you know, do some incredible thing. And people scream and shout and jump and holler. But what about the praises of the Lord? You know, that's when you ought to holler. You need what the Lord did for you. And you ought to holler, you ought to shout, you ought to praise the Lord. And if we don't do it, well, guess what? You know, you don't want that to happen, though. You don't want the stones to cry out in your place. I don't want any stones to take my place, do you? No. We got to praise the Lord. And you know, praising the Lord is one thing. Worshiping the Lord is another thing. And worship is a lifestyle. It's a culture. It's not just something you do for 30 minutes. You know, it's a lifestyle. That's what Jesus said. He said, look, God is a spirit. And they that worship him, worship him in spirit and truth. And those, that's the kind of people he said that the Father is looking for. Those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. It's a life of worship. It's what we really need to be living. And worship becomes a lifestyle. Praise God. You know, and when you hear the word of God, it brings a good sound into your ears. You worship. You know, Jehoshaphat, that's the first thing he did when he heard the promise that you will not need to fight in this battle, but you will stand still, you will hold your peace, and the Lord will fight for you. But, you know, you see the salvation of the Lord. And the first thing he did when he heard that great, great word of prophecy was he worshipped. Hallelujah. And he commanded everybody too. You know, when your king and your commander in chief is leading the praise and worship charge, you better follow suit. And may the Lord give us leaders. We need leaders like that, that know how to worship the Lord. Not only political leaders, but even religious leaders. And there are religious leaders today, many, that don't know how to worship the Lord. They're not even present when there is praise and worship. They're in the back somewhere. And when everything is said and done, then they come in, you know, as if they need to make some grand, kind of grand entrance, you know, to deliver the word, and off they go, right into the sunset again. What's all that about? David would never be missing in action when there was a time to praise the Lord. He would even forget that he was a king. You know, sometimes the crown, the king, the kingly robes and all of that, those things sometimes were hindrance. You get the thing off. Praise God. You know, just get it off and begin to get down before the Lord. And even the, you know, in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, it talks about, you know, the elders, the 420 elders and all of that, and all the stuff that they had, you know, they cast it down. So they cast down their crowns before the Lord. You know, sometimes the crown is deceitful because you think that you've got something just because you got a crown or a title and stuff like that, you know. You know, but these people in Revelation 4 and 10 and 11, the 420 elders, they fell down before him and sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne and saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Your crown means nothing. When you come in his presence, get rid of it. Cast it down underneath his feet. Well, many of us have different crowns, you know, that are a distraction to us today. You know, and Jesus said, you know, the things which are highly exalted among men, like the crowns and the titles, you know, that's the reason why the pastor, I mean, he's the pastor now. That's why he won't be there when they're praising the Lord. He'll come in after everything is all said and done, because he's the man, you know. And we got all these things going on, and people, you know, but not in the book of Revelation. Those guys, they cast their crowns before the Lord. And they knew how to worship the Lord too. They told him, look, you know, and Paul said the same thing. Anything that I thought I gained, I called it dung before the Lord. I cast it down. You know, everything. No matter what I thought I gained before, I cast it down. You know, praise the Lord. Jesus said, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. Luke chapter 16 and verse 15. But God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. All the things that we highly esteem, you know, the crowns, the kingly robe, the titles, the accolades, the things that make us not to be able to get down. David got rid of all that thing, all that stuff fast. He got down before the Lord and praised the beauty of holiness. Now, don't let your position, your crown, your title, or whatever else, you know, prevent you from worshiping the Lord. If any such thing, get rid of it fast. Praise the Lord. A person that knows how to worship the Lord, they're going to feel the hand of the Lord on their head, their backs, comforting them, the Spirit of God. When you are in a realm of praise and worship like that, it's like you're another dimension. You know, we got to practice it more and more so that we can stay in that realm. The trouble is, because of the life that's all around us and the world and the things that we have to deal with, it's really hard to stay in that realm all the time. We go in and out. But if you can figure it out to stay in there or stay longer in there, the more you do it, easier it becomes to be in his presence, even when you are doing other stuff. You've learned to link up and hook up and be plugged in to the Holy Spirit all at all times. And I'm talking about worship, I'm talking about prayer of praise. It's not just prayer, oh, Father, give me this, Father, give me that, Father, give me the other one. That's what we're constantly doing. Jesus said, look, these are the things that the heathen are seeking after. You know, all these things. What shall we wear? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Where shall we be clothed? And all these things. Give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. Do this for me, do me, do that for me. Jesus said, no, you won't do it like that. You know, but the way for you to do it is worship. Seek the Lord first. You know, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength and all thy mind. And everything that is within you, praise the Lord. That's what the psalmist said. But everything that is within me, praise the Lord. So once we learn how to do that and practice it more and more, you'll find that victories in many areas, many, many areas. And that needs to be part of your arsenal. Even the emerging series that we have been talking about, praising the Lord is something that we need to practice, worshiping and praising the Lord. And you know, bowing down before the Lord is also an act of worship. People don't know that. That's so. And people don't realize that. And people can't do that anymore these days. We're too polished, you know, and too civilized, you know, to fall down before the Lord and worship and all of that, you know. But I tell you what, the people that really get the Spirit of God really impact you in moments of worship and praise, you're not going to be worrying about, you know, this and that. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Psalm 95 and verse 6. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. How many people can do that anymore? How many people can bow down? Worship, you know, let's do it, you know, let's not be arrogant and so forth before the Lord. Let your hearts be tender in praising and worshiping the beauty of holiness. He is the King. Praise God. He deserves all the glory and all the praise. And another way to praise the Lord is the word of your testimony. That's right. That's the other way you praise the Lord. And I've been teaching on this platform how that you must use your testimony as a weapon even before you actually see the thing. That's how you get the victory. Praise the Lord. You praise the Lord with your testimony. The Bible said they overcame the devil. Revelation 12 and 11, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That's actually a weapon, you know. It's a weapon. That's how you overcome the devil, your testimony. Don't wait until it's all said and done for you. Testify. That's a traditional way of testifying. But the hour is coming, and now is, you know, that the sons of God will figure it out, that the way to overcome the devil is actually through the word of your testimony along with the blood of the Lamb and not counting your lives dear unto yourself. That word of testimony is so powerful. Use it even ahead of the victory. Glory to God. You declare it. Heavens will hear it. Hallelujah. The Bible said, well, did I not say that you are gods unto whom the word of God came? Well, the Lord gave the word, and great is the company that published it. Well, if we learn how to do like God, we'll give the word too. And there will be great company that publish it. Don't wait until it first is published. No, you give the word. And then let the publishers do their job. Psalm 103 verse 20, there are some powerful publishers. They are called the angels that excel in strength. They're waiting for you to give the word. And when you give the voice through God's word, especially through praise and worship and declaring his word, they will publish it. They will go into action. So now let's praise the Lord. Glory to God. I want you to take a minute. I'm going to play some more praise and worship music. But right now, I want you to just, if you're on stage and if you're in the audience, wherever you are, I want you to lift up your voice and begin to praise the Lord. Now pray now. Don't ask for this or that. Give me this, give me that. We do that all the time. Right now, it's the Lord's time. And just give him some love. I've told the story of the young little girl that went to the, church building in the parish. And pastor always kept that place open for people who came in for prayer and the burdens in their hearts. So he kept the door always open. And people would come in and pour out their hearts unto the Lord and so forth like that. Every time they needed an uplift and different things, they come into the house of the Lord. You know, there are burdens in their heart, kind of like Hannah when she went in there burdened, and Eli was wondering what was going on with her. So the people go in and burden and they pray. And that's why he put it out there. And one day he saw the little girl, about 5 or 6 years old. And she was in there all by herself. And so he walked over there and said, "Hey, little girl. Hey, little angel. What aileth thee? What is the burden of your heart? What is the petition that you have from the Lord? Why are you here today? What may I do for you?" Because that's the reason people always went in there. And the little girl said, "No, sir. I just come to love on the Lord a little bit. Woo-hoo. I just come to love on the Lord a little bit." Yes, indeed. You know, it's not only for prayer. Let's come on in. Praise the Lord and love on him a little bit. So open your mouth, open your mics, and let's begin to love on the Lord.